Money in markets, a roundup of markets in the first quarter is up on the comic book. Pretty much flat across the board. Bonds did a tiny bit better than the S&P. Europe was pretty much flat. Emerging markets peaked up a little bit. But again, it was a fairly non-eventful quarter. Many of us were wondering if we'd start to see real moves up in emerging markets and commodities. And we saw a little bit. We certainly saw precious metals sort of peak up and then dropping back now. So not a big change. It continued to be an S&P dominant world. We saw Janet Yellen move into the position as chairman of the Fed and continue the taper, but continue to talk about the importance of supporting the economy with quantitative easing if necessary. And so we really look at the prospect of quantitative easing forever. I put up a chart that shows the Treasury yields, the 30-year Treasury bond yield. The yield started to come down a little bit, so bonds sort of peaked up. They had a poor performance last year, and but as Janet started to talk about, no, she was going to let interest rates rise. You know, we've seen the bond market under pressure in the last week or two. Pressure on the U.S. dollar for all the reasons we know. And certainly as a result, it was very interesting to watch the battle back and forth in the Ukraine and what was happening with the dollar. And of course, we have Bitcoin continuing to raise its head. Bitcoin had a difficult quarter as some of the exchanges got hacked and went down. We also saw the IRS come out with a pronouncement that Bitcoin would be treated as property. We also saw one effort by media to out who the real developer of Bitcoin was, a former employee of a defense contract. You kind of wonder, okay, where is this coming from? I continue to believe that Bitcoin, no matter who invented it, who created it, who's running it, is a way for the system to prototype virtual digital currency. That's what they want. I've always said that they don't care whether you call the ultimate one world currency dollar or wampum beads. What they really want is a digital currency, and of course, one that can help them track literally the entire history of where it's been. So something like Bitcoin or many of these digital currencies is really the ultimate in terms of fiat control systems, and it's pretty scary. One thing that is true, though, and I think it's one of the things driving towards a world of digital and virtual currencies, is there are enormous savings to be had in terms of transaction fees if something like Bitcoin or a virtual currency was to be adopted globally. I put up an estimate from Business Intelligence, BI Intelligence, that is in the comic book, and what it shows is their estimate of the drop in fees that could be engineered if Bitcoin were adopted as a global payment system. And it's quite astonishing. So they're estimating that Bitcoin could cut out as much as half of the, even more than half of the current sort of financial transaction fees. And that's a very, very significant savings when you've got 2 billion people online and businesses trying to organize around tiny payments and tiny amounts. And so real pressure to do that, which is one of the reasons why I think it's going to happen. U.S. equities rock on. One of the charts I had up in the QE section was a chart that shows you the tight correlation between the rise of the S&P 500 and the total assets held on the Fed's balance sheet. Very tremendous or very tight correlation between the Fed's continued support, which is why, as the Fed's taper, the big question is how will the North American markets do? But of course, as we know, they've continued to hold their own, S&P up a little bit more than 1% for the quarter, and a strong week this week. Surprisingly, housing has not done well. How much of that was the weather? We don't know. The big question will be, how will housing do this spring? We continue to have households struggling with houses, sort of upside down, mortgage is worth more than the appraised value of the house, and of course, household income's falling. So much of the strength in the housing market where it's been has been because you have areas of the country that are successful in Global 3.0, or you have big institutional investors buying up large amounts of residential housing. And so it's sort of what I expect in terms of more of a shift to rental housing from homeownership. But U.S. equities continue to be strong. If you look at some of the charts we put up, one of the things I showed was the chart, I've talked about it before, that shows from the beginning of the S&P 500, if you look at where we are in terms of PEs, we're way above the average. We see investors like Jeremy Grantham just saying, you know, I'm not putting clients' money in this market. It's, you can't make money if you start off this high. If you look back over the history, what you'll see is there are two times the PEs have gone dramatically above where they are now. Those are times of both the 20s and then the 2000 tech bubble. Both are times of tremendous technological innovation. And I think that we run the possibility of that. And so it's one thing to keep in mind. I call it a crash up. Another thing, Chuck Gibson on the equity reports last year pointed out that there are very few retail investors who own equities. The United States population, whether through institutions like pension funds, are really some of the only equity investors around the world. Most investors are banks or real estate. One of the things that's happening with these online systems is you're seeing efforts made all around the globe to encourage the sort of new and growing middle class to invest in mutual funds and equities. If that should get going, we could see a real shift in PEs in the equity markets and global markets. I, for one, would love to see us move to more of an equity model. An equity model is one that's going to do a great deal to harmonize business activity and the economy with what is good for people and the environment or has the potential. And so I think moving to an equity model means a much more accountable model. The other chart I put up shows the 10-year yield, the yield on the 10-year treasury compared to the S&P returns. And what we see is there's real divergence. People are getting their yields in the equity markets. They're not in the fixed income. We have Bill Gross talking, head of PIMCO, talking a lot about financial repression, which means populations, savers who've lived for years now with no yields on their bank deposits and fixed income. And what I'm seeing and feeling, particularly during tax time, is people getting very, very tired of not, you know, of trying to keep their investments in things that are safe and yet getting no yield and being frustrated. And that's part of what is pushing funds into the equity markets.